Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Church of the Nazarene. Before we get started with today's message, I just want to share some good news, yeah? I believe as a family of Christ, we are to laugh together and cry together, celebrate together and mourn together. And so today I want to celebrate with you just a great milestone that has happened at East Rock. Just last week, they celebrated 5 years of being a new campus, an addition to, an extension of Church of the Nazarene. So let's give them a hand. Look at the pictures up as they're on the screen here. They had over 100 people stay for fellowship with the folks there. What a great team they have there, right? Pastor Jared and Beth leading worship, Pastor Terry, Pastor Karen Good is working with the teens. Steph Higgs is the children's director there. Man, and I have the privilege of meeting with many of them on Monday mornings with Pastor Jared and Beth. And I get firsthand experience hearing all the great things that are happening there in Elkton at our East Rock campus. And let me tell you, God is doing and moving within the Elkton community because of your obedience and because of the obedience of those folks who go to East Rock. So let's give them another hand. Wow. Now, if we could only get moving on bringing summer back to Virginia, you know what I'm saying? Y'all fooled this Easterner from Pennsylvania. The first 2 years we were here, we were like, wow, this really is the South. Like, there's no snow. The weather's just mild. I don't think it broke like 40 maybe or 35 the first two winters we were here. And then bam, you guys hit us with Alaskan type weather. You know what I'm saying? You fooled us. You fooled us. I'm about done with the winter weather. I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I really do love the beach. As a matter of fact, the hotter, the better. Anybody with me? No? Raise your hand if you're with me. I'm like 90 degrees on the beach. I want the sweat just pouring right off of me. I just feel better about myself, right? I just love summer. I kind of look a little bit like this guy here. This is really where my mind is. You know what I'm saying? About 8 years ago, my parents moved from Pennsylvania to Ormond Beach, Florida. If you're not sure where that is, it's right around Daytona there. For this exact reason, that they couldn't stand the cold anymore, which is good news for me because when we go to see them, we also get to go to the beach, which is really great, just about 3 miles from their house. However, the beach, although wonderful, comes with its own troubles, right? Because my girls loved getting in the water, which as a mom is a little bit terrifying, right? It kind of freaked me out. I'm constantly watching them. I'm making sure that they're not too far off, that they're safe from the current and from the waves, right? But without fail, within a few minutes of them swimming in the ocean, I would have to start waving them down like a crazy woman, right? Y'all have been there? Because the current, the waves, little by little would drift them out too far from where I was, right? They didn't try to drift. They didn't plan to drift, but the current slowly just started pulling them way too far. And once they realized it, they would start making the anxious effort to start to swim back, right? Most of you have been there, right? Your umbrella's here, and then before you know it, your umbrella's down here somewhere. Nobody wakes up and thinks, today I'm going to drift spiritually. And spiritual drifting works the same way. Nobody wakes up thinking, today I think I'm going to drift away from God. I think I'm going to disconnect from my faith today. Or in Kermit terminology, they're not thinking, today I'm going going to deconstruct my faith. It just happens slowly, right? There was an old song by Casting Crowns that said, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white turn to gray. No big waves, no storms, just slow, quiet movement. Small waves that cause someone to drift from where they started, right? It's usually slow, but it's always destructive. So what are some signs that someone's drifting? Maybe they're slowly pulling back from church, or from small groups, or from serving, or worship, or maybe even just reading their Bibles. Faith stops being the center of their life, and other things start to take priority. They start isolating themselves from Christian friends or accountability, and their belief begins to shift quietly, leaning more on culture than on scripture, and the small compromises just start to feel okay. Y'all have that person in your mind, right? And suddenly, they're not where they used to be spiritually speaking. Often the first sign isn't behavior, it's disconnection. See, drifting doesn't always look like running away. Sometimes it looks like just slowly letting go. We included this topic in our relationship series because some of the most heartbreaking relationship struggles aren't about conflict. They're about distance. They're not just emotional distance, but spiritual distance, right? And many of us carry this quiet burden of people that we love who aren't walking with God anymore. I can imagine there are parents in the room right now that know exactly what it is I'm talking about. And the Bible actually speaks to how we love people in that space. So right now, this morning, you may know and love someone in exactly that situation. So here's the question. What do we do when someone we love and care for starts to drift? Someone who perhaps at one time in their life called themselves a follower of Christ, but now their relationship with Jesus just seems distant. James 5:19 through 20 tells us exactly what to do. Bring that person back. Read with me in the NLT translation. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. I'm going to read it to you from the Message translation because I think it's so clear. My dear friends, if you know people who have wandered off from God's truth, don't write them off. Go after them. Get them back and you'll have rescued precious lives from destruction and prevented an epidemic of wandering away from God. Scripture is clear that we are not to ignore the drifter. Listen, just like me as a crazy woman trying to wave down my kids so they didn't drift too far away, we are called to be the wavers. So what does a waver do? The waver stays aware. They keep looking outward. They notice if there's movement, and then they care enough to call out. And they act out of love, not out of superiority. So we're going to be in John chapter 21 here. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and take them out a while. And as you're getting there, let me tell you this. In the story we're about to read, Peter is not the perfect example of a drifter. I could have used Jonah as the example of a drifter who ran from God's calling, who knew God, but he didn't want to obey. Or I could have used Samson, who was called by God at birth and drifted through pride and lust and disobedience. And I could have even used the parable of the prodigal son who leaves his father to pursue worldly living. Peter, he had a momentary lap of judgment, and perhaps it was, you can call it a momentary drift, right? But he isn't really the perfect example of a drifter, but he does show us what it looks like to struggle and to stumble in faith. And what's remarkable in this chapter is how Jesus responds not with condemnation, but with patient restoration. Here, Jesus shows us exactly how to love, how to guide, and restore someone who has drifted. So that's who I want to focus on today. I want to focus on Jesus' response. So go ahead and turn there with me. Peter, one of Jesus' closest disciples, he had denied Jesus three times. Not one time, not two times, but three times. He had boldly said that he would never fail, that he would never fall away. And yet, fear and pressure came, and he completely denied even knowing Jesus. And just a few days earlier, he would have called himself the most loyal disciple. But in that moment of weakness, he drifted. And with a curse, the Apostle Peter disconnected. And so after Jesus' death, the women had already discovered the tomb was empty, and their resurrected Lord had begun to appear to his disciples. So Peter and the disciples, they decided to return to fishing at the Sea of Tiberias, but that night, they couldn't catch a single thing. And then a man on the shore, someone they didn't recognize at first, started to call out to them, "Hey, go ahead and cast your nets on the other side of the boat." And when they did that, the nets were overflowing with fish. So I can imagine that for a moment, the disciples were like, "Wait, we've seen this happen before. That must be Jesus." And that's where it leaves us here. So Peter, the one who had failed, the one who had walked away in fear and denied knowing Jesus, he didn't hesitate. He jumped into the water and he started swimming straight to Jesus. See, this story isn't just about Peter's failure. It's about Jesus's patience. It's about how he pursued the drifter. First, Jesus pursues the drifter with presence and not pressure. Jesus always knew where he had to be and who he had to be with. Read with me John 21, and again, I'm reading from the NLT, verse 12. "Now come and have breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. And then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. And this was the third time that Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. "Now come and have breakfast." Now come, have breakfast. This invitation represents relationship, and it represents intimacy, right? Jesus spent time with Peter, even sharing a meal with him, before he even addressed anything spiritual. So when someone's drifting, they often already feel like they have distance, but presence is more powerful than punishment or judgment. A wise servant once said, and this might sound familiar to you, presence matters most. And presence equals love. So invite them to coffee, a walk, a normal hangout. Keep the relationship warm and safe. Let them know and see that they are loved without an agenda. Because Jesus shows us to lead with love and not lectures. Let's read on in John 21, 15 to 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Listen, Jesus didn't start with, "So Peter, while they were beating me, why'd you deny me?" He didn't start that way, did he? He doesn't even bring it up. He started with, "Do you love me? Do you love me, Peter?" Check out this picture. If I have any 80s kids in here, y'all remember this guy? It's a picture of Bam Bam from the Flintstones. I know it's dating me a little bit. It's okay. Bam Bam had a really good heart, yeah? But his power, his bam, was still powerful enough to hurt, right? And here's where us wavers sometimes get it wrong. Sometimes our desire is to see the drifter return, and it can make us push or Bible bam them, see what I did there, too hard. We don't want to overwhelm them with scripture hoping that something sticks, right? Truth is best received when it's shared with love. Drifting hearts need reminders of love more than they need reminders of failure. So ask heart-level questions. Listen more than you talk. Affirm that you care. For example, maybe you want to ask things like, "How are you really doing?" Or, "What's going on in your life?" Or maybe you want to say, "Where do you feel God in your life lately?" I'll tell you what, that's a good friend that can ask you that question. Remember, you are not the Holy Spirit. You are a friend. Read with me John 21:18. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And then Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Let me make a little disclaimer, a little note here. Sometimes no matter how gently you approach the drifter, they are going to still feel hurt and defensive. Sometimes drifters work really hard to prove that they're not wrong and they're disconnecting, which is why we need to keep it personal and not public when we approach our drifter. Not every moment needs an audience. Some things are meant to be handled up close, in love, in private. Listen to what we learn here in John 21:20. Peter turned around and saw behind him the disciples Jesus loved. Peter turned around and saw the disciples, which means that they must have had a little bit of distance from the others. And it shows us that there was some space there between them. Listen, Jesus, throughout Scripture, addresses individuals privately. Think about it. The woman at the well. The woman possessed by demons. Even the woman who was caught in adultery. See, the Pharisees, they tried to make that public. But Jesus didn't even address her until everyone else had walked away. Social media is not the place to call out a drifter, if you haven't figured that out yet. And listen, this isn't just a younger generation problem. According to the data released from the AARP in 2026, this is really recent, I was kind of shocked by these results. 73% of adults over the age of 50 are active on social media. We're all scrolling, right? But I've honestly never heard someone say they found Jesus because a Christian called them out publicly. I have seen people get hurt, shut down, pushed farther away because of it. Church, hear me out on this. When we publicly call someone out, whether it's on social media or any other way, it almost never brings the change that we hope for. Instead, it often brings division, the complete opposite, right? And not just division, but listen, the world is watching how we disagree, how we struggle with the drifter. The world is watching us. Someone said that the church is the only army that shoots its own wounded. Be careful. Because if our goal is restoration, then it has to start with relationship. a message, a phone call, a coffee, a quiet personal conversation. Again, presence matters most. You are going to eventually have to have an honest conversation at some point, right? About the risks of walking away. You're going to have that. The Holy Spirit will allow that opportunity when the timing's right. There will be a time where you'll have to have that conversation, but it's usually not where you begin. Because that's where love really works. That's where people feel seen. They don't feel shamed. And that's where Jesus meets them. So let's pursue them. Let's pursue people the way that he pursues us, personally, gently, and privately, because we have to extend grace. And listen, we want to extend grace, but we also don't want to extend gossip. Sometimes what we call concern is really comparison. And sometimes what we call sharing is actually gossip dressed up in spiritual language. So check out my girls here. These are my two girls. They look like they love each other, don't they, in this picture? They do, now that they're older. But when they were younger, this was more like their relationship. I didn't even have to pose that one. When one made a mistake, the other one was really quick to point it out. They were quick to make sure that I knew who was wrong and who was right. And the one who pointed it out, there was like this glow about them. Like, I'm the good kid now. Any of you who have more than one child will appreciate that, right? Listen to what Ephesians 4:29 says. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Listen, if I'm honest, I've seen that same tendency in my own heart. We say we want to help, but deep down we feel a little better about ourselves in the process, right? It's the intent of our heart that we need to be careful of. What's our goal? To help a brother or sister in need, or to puff yourself and flex your spiritual muscles? The gospel does not call us to gossip about the drifter. It calls us to extend grace to them. Because the truth is, every one of us who is sitting here has wandered. Every one of us needed mercy. Not one of us sitting in this room today has gotten it all right. We're here because of the way God was gracious to us when we got it all wrong. So yeah, seek wise counsel when needed, but never forget where God found you. Remember what he saved you from. Because when we remember our own rescue story, there's a softening that happens in our heart. When we stop offering gossip and we start offering grace, it's the grace that often helps bring the drifter home. And lastly, we need to just trust God with the outcome. Jesus didn't force Peter's response. He invited him. You can't make someone come back to faith. You can only move them toward it. You can only point them in the right direction. So pray for them consistently. Listen, this will not happen without prayer. And then let the Holy Spirit work. Be patient with the drifter. Now, I want to take a second here because I want to talk to the drifter for a moment. If you're sitting here today or you're listening to my voice and you're realizing, I'm the drifter. Hear this with love. This message is not a warning shot. It's a wave from the shore. The umbrella moved. No, the umbrella didn't move. You did. Nobody here is throwing stones at you. We're waving you home. Drifting doesn't make you a failure. It makes you human. You don't have to stay where the current has taken you. Remember Peter, he drifted. He denied Jesus, and yet Jesus pursued him and restored him and still called him forward. Because the good news is Jesus is in the restoration business. That very Peter who drifted became the rock of which Jesus built his church. So hear this clearly. Your drifting does not cancel God's calling. Your distance does not disqualify your destiny. The same Jesus who cooked breakfast for Peter, who gently restored him, who didn't shame him, that same Jesus is inviting you back, not with pressure, not with guilt, but with open arms. And if you've drifted, you can come back. Listen, Peter jumped in the water. He couldn't even wait for the boat to dock. He came swimming to Jesus. Small strokes still move you toward shore. One prayer, one step, one surrender at a time. And know this, he still has a plan for you. It's not too late. Your story isn't over. Your calling still stands. And as a former pastor once said, Jesus is desperately in love with you. So maybe today is your moment to turn your heart back toward him. 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, chapter 13 says this, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. See, these verses aren't just instructions that you read at a wedding. They're instructions on how to pursue the drifter. David G. Allen, a published author and researcher, said this, patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind. I'm going to read that again. Patience is the calm acceptance that things can happen in a different order than the one you have in mind. This pastor is very convicted right now. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like this commercial. Maybe you'll remember it if you are a child of the 80s. Go ahead and take a look.
Mr. Cow.
Yes?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. I always end up biting. Ask Mr. Fox, for he's much cleverer than I.
Mr. Fox, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
Why don't you ask Mr. Turtle, for he's been around a lot longer than I. Me? I bite.
Mr. Turtle. How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, for he is the wisest of us all.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop?
A good question. Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll Center of a Tootsie Pop? Anybody have enough patience to ever get there? Anybody ever try? Count? No? I never did have enough patience to bite into the Tootsie Roll Pop. But after a while, I just got tired. I didn't want to just keep licking. I had to just bite it. You know, the feeling, the flavor was so intense. I just needed to take a bite. Now, when you walked in this morning, you received a lifesaver. How many of you did not eat your lifesaver? Notice how I'm pointing out the ones who followed directions and not the drifters who didn't, yeah? No, in all seriousness, if you need a lifesaver, go ahead and just raise your hand. The ushers will make sure you get one. You're going to need it here. It's really important. So if you have one, go ahead and take the lifesaver. Now, I know this isn't a Tootsie Roll Pop, but for the sake of keeping it in the beach theme, you know, and you see, just bear with me, all right? Lifesaver. go ahead and put that lifesaver in your mouth. But here's the challenge. Don't bite it. Who bit it already? Don't bite it. You'll notice immediately what you want to do is you just want to bite it. It takes patience to just let it sit in your mouth and let it dissolve slowly. And honestly, we tried this at home, and I knew this was going to happen. I didn't even have to test it. You know what I mean? Like, I am the not patient one. Brian has the patient of a saint. It took me 2 minutes and 30 seconds to bite it. And I was like, oh, I wasn't supposed to bite it. And he's like, I'm still not biting mine. It takes a lot of patience. And that's a lot of how we need to treat those who are drifting from our faith. We see them drifting, we love them, we want them to come home, but sometimes instead of patiently loving them, the emotion inside gets so overwhelming. We just want to see them come home so badly that we bite down in frustration. We lecture, we push, we Bible bam them over the head. And I know it's not because we're mean. I know our hearts. It's because we care. But church, when we bite, it often causes more harm than good. People rarely drift back because they were pressured. They come back because they were loved, because somebody waved them down and was like, hey, you're drifting. It's because somebody stayed patient with them and just loved them. This is a picture of Brian's pop, who is a patriarch in the family. He's passed, but when Pop met Brian's dad, he prayed for 15 years for him to come back to the Lord. Talk about patience, right? Brian's dad gave his heart to the Lord when he was 33. Brian's dad also passed at 35 of cancer. Pop also prayed for me. He waved me down for 4 years before I gave my heart to Jesus. Were there times where there were difficult conversations? Yeah, absolutely. But he loved us first, and he loved us so well. So during this last song, I want you to take a minute. I want you to think of the person in your life that seems like they're spiritually distant or they're drifting. And perhaps it's someone you care about and you almost feel powerless to reach. Picture them clearly in your mind right now. Because if you still have a lifesaver in your mouth, which if you didn't bite, you should still. Keep sucking. Because whether you are the drifter or whether you're the waver, it's often in the waiting that the Holy Spirit moves. Go ahead and stand. Dear Heavenly Father, speak to us. Remind us of just how patient you were and are with us, Lord. Help us to be patient too. Bring our drifters home, Heavenly Father. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.